2 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," verse 10, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his deeds." And John closes this letter by saying, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." John is writing to a believing friend, I believe, and he has been inspired to pack a large amount of wisdom into a short letter. He does not name this lady specifically, but he calls her an elect lady, and he declares that he loves her in the Lord. He loves her for the Lord's sake. He treasures that she believes as he believes. And we have seen already that there is to be a bond between believers as we walk after the commandments of God. We're drawn one to another. We are to love one another as Christ loves us and as he gave his life for us. As believers, we are to be truly new creatures. And new creatures ought to have a new vision. And that's what we talked about a little last week, that our new vision allows us to see through the tricks of the deceivers. They're going to be tricks and they're going to be deceivers as there were in John's day. And you know what? They're doing the same things today that they were doing long ago. Primarily, what are they doing? They're denying that Jesus Christ has already come. Those are the deceivers. That's what they're doing. But we know them to be liars because we know the truth. Now, why do we know the truth? Well, we know the truth because we see through doctrine, because we're looking at things from heaven's point of view. We are looking at things as they are given to us by the word of God. We believe that God inspired his words for our learning, and then we believe what God says to be true. And we keep ourselves in check by keeping in touch with the Almighty God through his word. And his doctrine keeps us from deception. You know, it doesn't matter who you encounter. As long as you are strong in what you know about the Lord, they cannot lead you astray if you're strong in your doctrine of the truth. And this week we're going to look at the believer's defense. You know, what is our defense? How do we stay strong? How do we make sure that the word of God is not watered down? I think the way that we do that is by staying on guard and being actively involved in the protection of what we believe. And that's what John is closing his letter to this lady by telling her to be on defense. And just two points I want to make this morning is that we've got to protect the house, first of all. And then we got to protect the faith. As God is telling us, there are deceivers out there. They're going to be coming. They're going to come as opposition to the word of God. But we've got two things we got to keep in mind. We got to protect the house. And I believe the house here makes reference to the house of God and our personal homes, that we need to make sure that we are protected by staying true to the word of God. And then we got to protect the faith. We got to watch who we align ourselves with, who we go into allegiance with, so that there is no compromise to the word of God. First of all, let's look at we must protect the house. That's verse number 10. Verse 10 says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Now, the gospel was spread then as the gospel is spread today by word of mouth. You know, it would not be uncommon for someone to knock on your door, I believe, and talk to you about Christ. It would not be uncommon for someone to see you in the street and to talk to you about Christ, about the Messiah, about the promises of God. And, you know, it ought to be more common today. It ought to be a more common practice for us that just as we talk about what's going on in our own families, we ought to talk about what's going on in the family of God. And we got to be concerned about the salvation, the spiritual condition of the people that we come into contact with. And the prophets and the teachers and the preachers, they would travel about. They would teach and they would share. And they would go without travel plans. And they would be welcomed into the homes of other believers who would meet their needs while they were in the city. This was their practice. And we see that this was their practice as we go back and we begin to recall what we've read in the Word of God about how God has met the needs of those who have been faithful to carry forth His Word. And we can go back as far, I'm sure we can go even farther back, but today we're going to go back to Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4. Flip over there if you would. 2 Kings chapter 4, page 302 if you're following in the Pew Bibles. But in 2 Kings, we're going to see Elisha, the prophet. Elisha was the prophet who succeeded Elijah in his work. And Elisha was one such prophet who moved about from place to place doing God's will. And there were people who ministered to him along the way, which shows us that God intended for there to be a spirit of hospitality between believers, but that we have to be careful as well about who we entertain, who we allow to come into our homes. In 2 Kings chapter 4, skip down if you would to verse number 8, we're going to see a little bit about the prophet Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there." So God ordained that it was okay, that it was the right thing to do for believers to entertain one another, to welcome them into their homes. And you know, today, it made me think about, as even as we were reading that some time ago, that I visited a church in North Carolina with a friend of mine going to a Christian meeting. And there the church had what they called a pilgrim's room, whereby they made provisions for the preachers and the pastors and the teachers who were passing through, that they had a place for them to rest when they came through. I believe that's biblical. But the whole point that I want to show with you here is that the woman said, "I perceive that this man is a holy man." Now, which means that she was not going to open her house to just any old body who wanted to come through, but she perceived that this man was a holy man of God, and she could allow him to come in without compromising her house and without compromising her faith. She perceived him to be a holy man of God. She saw fit to make provisions for him to stop by as often as he would. Now, we got to do the same thing. You know, I think we got to be like the Shunammite woman. We got to make good choices. We got to make real good choices so that we protect our houses, the houses where we live, and the house of God. So we must protect ourselves from false doctrine. And we cannot make quick assessments based on how things look. I want you to be real careful to listen to what I'm saying here. We cannot make quick assessments based on how people look. Oh, they look okay. You know, they look like they might be friendly people. But we've got to listen with our hearts, and we got to make godly determinations based on what? The doctrine of God. We got to make determinations based on what they say about the God that they serve. And if we do not, then we will find ourselves compromised. And I want to show you a situation where some people got compromised, and that's in Joshua chapter number 9. They got compromised because they forgot to protect their houses. Joshua chapter 9, page 184 in your Pew Bibles. They based everything on what they saw. They based on what they heard. They didn't ask any questions. And then they found themselves in a compromising situation. Joshua chapter 9. Beginning at verse number 1. Now let me just tell you, that Joshua and the children of Israel had just come through a great, great victory. God had just shown them great things. They had just crossed over the River Jordan. They had just gone into Jericho and God had given them victory. They had just found themselves in a rough situation because Achan had took of the spoil. They had gone up against Ai and a very small band of people, and the people of Ai just tore them apart, beat them down. They didn't know why. And then God told Joshua, because there was sin in the camp, because someone had done something that they ought not to do. And when they dealt with Achan and they took care of Achan, his family, and all the things that he had taken away, and God restored to them again, and they went in and they fought against Ai, and they did to him what they ought to have done to him the first time. They put a whooping on him because God was with them. Now, here is Joshua and the children of Israel. They've been given a charge to go into the promised land and to fight and to destroy, because God had given that land to them, and that was the way they were going to get it. They had to take it. But Joshua and the princes of the children of Israel, they put their guard down and they forgot to protect what God had given to them. They acted too quickly. And I offer this as an example to you to make sure that we don't fall into the same trap. Joshua 9, verse 1, this is what the Bible says. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? You know, they considered, they started asking right questions, but they didn't carry it far enough. And it says, and they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are you, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. Now, I want you to see that deceivers are out there, guys. And deceivers were out there even then. Now, Joshua and the children of Israel were just hot off of great things that God had done. And now they are in the midst of being deceived by people who are quick with their words. Who are quick with their words and quick with their displays to show, to prove their points. But now they say they took hot bread, they said, and now look at it, it's moldy. We've been traveling for so long. It says in verse 13, And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel. Here's a problem. And asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And verse 15 says, And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors. They were going to be in their path. These were people that they were supposed to destroy. He says, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now they said that they had taken brand new wine. And the wine there would have been in like animal skins. And they're saying that they were in this, they were gone for so long that the skins were all torn up. And their shoes were all torn up. And their clothes were all torn up. And their bread, once hot, was now moldy. 3 days. 3 days. And they walked upon their camp. He says, now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not. Now they couldn't do what God had told them to do, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. I want to show you what deceivers can do. Now deceivers, the children of Israel would just come off a great victory. And they were high. And here they are just 3 days later, they were murmuring and complaining because there was deceivers that had come into the midst and had stolen away some of their joy. We got to protect our houses. You hear me? And that's the reason why. When deceivers come into the home, then husbands and wives, they begin to murmur. They murmur against each other. Deceivers come into the home and then they murmur about their faith. And they don't want to serve in the way that they used to. But they murmured here because their house was in jeopardy. It was in jeopardy. And they couldn't carry out the Lord's command that they fight and destroy all those who occupy the land that was promised to the children of Israel. Now, I don't believe the Lord is telling us that we should not interact with unbelievers. That's not what he's saying at all, because it is through the faith of the believers that unbelievers are to come to him. Certainly that's not what he's telling us. Amen. But he is most certainly telling us that we need to be careful. Now, I believe he's not telling us that because of what we read over in Romans chapter 10. Flip over there if you would. Romans 10, page 836 in your pew Bibles. He's not telling us to steer clear of unbelievers. But what he's telling us is to be aware of those who bring in a false doctrine. Be aware of those who bring in a false doctrine. Now look in Romans chapter 10, just a few verses there. And then we're going to look at something in Matthew I want to share with you. But in Romans chapter 10, page 836, beginning at verse number 14, here's what God says, which is evidence that God is not saying that we should shut ourselves off from those who do not believe as we believe, but that we need to be careful that we not allow their doctrine, which is false, to creep into our houses or into our houses of worship. In Romans 10, verse 14, he says this, as evidence that we are to go forth, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And here's a conclusion that shows me that we've got to get the word out for sure. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think this is applicable in both situations. We got to know that we can be open to sharing the gospel with unbelievers so that unbelievers can come to know God. But we've also got to be careful that we don't allow anything to change our interpretation, our understanding of what the doctrine of God says to be true for us. And Jesus practiced this whole concept of hospitality, going from house to house. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Again, showing us that the practice was acceptable. But he too, even in his interactions, Matthew 9, page 709, even in his interactions, he was showing us that there had to be protection of the doctrine of God, no matter where you went, no matter what you were doing. In Matthew 9, just a few verses, beginning at verse number 9, the Bible speaks about a man named Matthew. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, Matthew 9, verse 9, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So what did he do? He went into the houses. What was the purpose? To carry the doctrine. To carry the doctrine. To carry the word of God so that the unbelievers might one day be believers, not so that they might be compromised. So, Christ calls upon us, as he called upon the saints of old, to take the gospel into the streets and to share. But as each of us is carrying out the call, he warns us to beware so that we do not allow the Antichrist to preach heresies upon our doorsteps. And y'all, you ready for this? And in our pulpits. He says in the latter part of verse 10 of 2 John 1, he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what does he say to us? Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. He says, don't receive him into your house. If he's not preaching the same gospel, if he cannot say that he serves the same God that you serve, if he does not know the same Jesus that you know, the Bible says, don't welcome him into your house. Don't receive him. And don't wish him Godspeed. Don't give him the peace of God to go forth and to carry on and continue to do what he's doing. I tell you, Jesus instructed 70 missionaries that he sent out. And he told them how to manage going from house to house and city to city. And he told them how to regard people who would receive them and people who would turn them away. People who would accept the doctrine, the word of God to be true, and people who would turn them away. Look at that in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, page 761 in your pew Bibles. He told them not to receive them. He told them not to bid them Godspeed. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1, we're going to see how Christ sends the 70 out as missionaries or ambassadors. He sent them out in twos to reach the masses of people. Luke 10, verse 1, the Bible says this, and after these, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. He sent them to prepare the way. He says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. You know what he's saying there? He said, first of all, before you go into the house, do a doctrine check. Make sure that they are believers. And that was a way of believers greeting one another. He says, first of all, say, peace be to this house. And if they responded in like, then it was okay for you to enter into that house and for you to live there. And they were going to meet your needs while you were there traveling, doing the work of God. And he says, in that same house, verse 7, you remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You know what he's saying there, if I can interpret it this way? He says, don't compromise your doctrine because the people don't receive you. He says, instead, you say to them, you know, even the very dust, we're not going to take any of your doctrine with us. We're not going to take any of the foolishness that you preach. He says, we're going to wipe it off. And he says, but I want you to know one thing, that the kingdom of God is nigh. One day you're going to find out that the things that we have shared with you are truly the word of God. Every knee will bow, he says. But don't you let that mess, don't you let that mess stick to you, is what he's saying. He says, you tell them for sure you can know the kingdom of God is nigh. He says, but I say unto you, verse 12, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. He says, in short, you take the gospel, but protect your house. Protect your house. Protect your house. He says, if they receive you not, then get out of there. Then get out of there. You know, we need to protect this house. You know, we need to protect this house. We need to protect what comes and speaks to us in this house. You know, that it needs to be doctrinally sound. It needs to be doctrinally sound. Because if it's not the Word of God, then what is it? It's the Antichrist. It's the opposite of God. And we don't want that mess in our house. One last thing, and then we'll move on. Look in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, page 876. Paul is writing to Timothy in his first letter. And I believe that Paul gave Timothy the same counsel as John gave to this elect lady. Protect your house in the house of God. Protect your house in the house of God. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. Here's what the Bible says. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. He says, you know what? There are going to be people who are going to try to trip you up. They're going to want to ask you dumb questions. They're going to want to talk time and time again. They want to know, you know, how did the whole world get populated? They're going to ask you questions that they know you just don't have the answer to. They're going to do all that because they want to steer you away from the doctrine of God, the things you know to be true. But he says, don't give heed to it. Don't even listen to it. He says, it's just endless questions, and all it does is minister more questions rather than godly edifying that which is faith. He says, now the end of the commandment, verse 5, is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned. He says, be sincere in what you know to be true. He says, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. That's just talk. Just talk. That's all they're doing. Just talking, talking, talking. He says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they are firm. In other words, they desire to be teachers. They're teaching something they don't even understand. They don't understand what they say. They don't understand what it means. But he gives him the same warning that John gives to the elect lady, and the same warning that I give to you today. We got to protect our houses from false doctrine. But not only the house needs protection, but the faith needs protection as well. And God is calling upon us to protect the faith. Now, go back to 2 John chapter 1. Let's read verse 10 again and verse 11 in your bulletin there. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, what John writes to the elect lady here is that she is to be careful who she endorses so that the reputation of God is not smeared. Now, I want to repeat that again. And this is real important. That she be careful who she endorses so that the reputation of God is not smeared. Don't bid him Godspeed or go in the peace of God, because he goes without the word of God. Don't align yourself with those who believe differently under the assumption that everybody knows that I'm a believer. Everybody knows that I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe in the one true God. He says, don't align yourselves with people that are false in their doctrine, just assuming that everybody knows that you would never be walking alongside them, because that's not the way that people work. They know, people know you by your associations. They know us by our associations. And they assume that those that we associate with are the ones that we are in agreement with. And this is why God is saying, don't bid him Godspeed, because if you bid him Godspeed, then obviously you agree with the things that he's saying. And now you are a partaker of his evil deeds. Let me give you an example of what God means when he says don't be in alignment. You remember some years ago an event called the Million Man March? You know who led the Million Man March? An unbeliever. You know who filled the streets with those 1 million men, if that's really the number of men that showed up there? Churches around the country. Churches who declared themselves to be followers of Christ. Guess who they followed? An unbeliever into the streets of the city. Now, what did people think? What could you think about the churches if they were following a man who was evil, a man who was violent, a man who spoke out against the very principles of the Word of God? Well, this is what God is saying. We have got to protect the faith. We cannot afford to align ourselves with those who do not believe what we believe. We can't wish them Godspeed. We can't just say, we'll just do this thing because it's a good cause. God says it's not that good of a cause, because the doctrine is the only thing that matters. What have we got if we don't have our faith? God says we got to know those who are of like faith. And there we are to make our alliances. Now look in Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16, page 840 in your pew Bibles. In Romans chapter number 16, Paul is closing out his letter to the church at Rome. But here, Paul is giving them a clear message that they have got to protect the faith. They got to protect the reputation of the Word of God and of God himself. In Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, which is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And he continues, and because you don't want to hear me trip up on all these names, but he continues with those who are of like faith. And skip down to verse number 16. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. He's talking about a protection of the faith and of the faithful. He says, the churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. He says that there's some very clear instruction. He says, mark them that cause divisions, mark them that cause offenses contrary to the doctrine. And he says, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Those who do not know the Word of God. Those who do not protect their houses and their faith. You know, we're to be faithful to God, but we're not to be simple. We're to study, to show ourselves approved. We're to know the Word of God. Paul says, avoid them because they are antichrist, because they do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, who's given credit for having written so much of the New Testament, Paul tells us that even if he fell on his own head, he says, even if I start preaching something else, he says, don't you sway away from what we have just already taught you is truly the Word of God. Now, where did you say that? Look in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians 1, page 859. Thank you. Galatians chapter 1. Skip down to verse number 8, just a few verses there. He says this. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven. Now Paul is making sure that we understand how dedicated to the doctrine of God we need to be. How fixed on what God has shown us about himself we need to be. He says, if I come back, or even if an angel from heaven came down and preached any other gospel unto you other than that which we have preached unto you, he says, let him be accursed. He says, as we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if Christ revealed this word to Paul and inspired that Paul would record this word for us, ought we not to stay true to the gospel and protect our faith above all else? Now, I ran across something that I thought was awesome about how committed we ought to be to the faith to the doctrine of God and being faithful to the doctrine of God. Flip over. I just want to show it to you real quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians 16, page 852. While you turn there, I'll remind you again of what we just read in Galatians chapter 1, where Paul wrote, if I come back or an angel come back and preach any other gospel, he says, just bring in another doctrine. Let him be accursed. He says, any man preach you any other gospel, then he ought to be accursed. Now, Paul, closing out his letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 16, I want to show you what he said. Skip all the way down to verse number 21. He says, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. So he is closing his letter, and he's letting them know that he has written this letter with his own hand. Verse 22, he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. You know what he's saying there? He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, even to the coming of the Lord. He's like he's saying, let him be cursed until the day of his death, and let him be accursed even forever, if he even says that he does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we need to be that, we need to have that kind of ownership to our faith in the word of God and in the person of God. He says if they are against Christ, if they say that they do not love Christ, then he says, let them be cursed even to the coming of the Lord. Verse 23 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Know God's peace. Not to those who are against the word of God. Know God's peace. Says we can't risk, guys, creating an alliance or appearing to create an alliance with unbelievers. To protect our homes and to protect our faith, we have got to be on the defense. We've got to be on the defense. We've got to know that God has given us an advantage already. You know what that advantage is? He's given us the end of the story. You know, the battle must not be won. You know why not? Because it's already been won. So what ought we to do? Here's an easy answer. We ought to do what God says. And I think we see a perfect example of what God says. And we'll close out there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Page 880 in your pew Bibles. What does God say that we ought to do? What ought to be our defense as we seek to protect our homes and to protect our faith? To protect God's reputation, what ought we to do? 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's second letter to Timothy, beginning at verse number 1, he says this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, and these are those that are deceivers. They look good on the outside, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Protect yourself, your house and your faith. He says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. They're deceivers, guys. They lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Their folly shall be made known unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul says, out of everything I endured, I stayed true to the doctrine of God. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But no matter what happens around you, he says, but you continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is our defense? What's our defense? The Holy Scripture of God, which is profitable to us for all things. Had Joshua consulted God, would they have found themselves in that situation? No. What is our defense today? You know, and you might know someone, you might be thinking of someone who once sat alongside you, served alongside you, and now they've gone astray. What was the perfect defense for them? The Holy Scripture of God, which is profitable to us for all things. The Holy Scripture is that which makes us perfect in God's eyes and furnishes us for all good works. If we are to protect our homes, our houses, this house, the Word of God, we are to protect our faith, it's only going to be through the doctrine of God that we hold true, that we give our all to our God and stay faithful to His Word. Let's pray. Father, for your wonderful Word, I say thank you today. Lord, I'm thankful that you have given us a Word that is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. I pray, Lord, that we would lend ourselves to allow your doctrine, your Word, to work in us and to work around us, Lord. I pray for boldness when we are attacked by those who are deceived and those who are seeking to deceive. I pray, Lord, that we would come back at them the way that you came back at the devil when you were tempted in the wilderness, with the Word of God, with the truth of the Word of God, and that we would let the Word of God be our strength. Lord, I pray for unbelievers today. I pray that you would make the difference in their lives, that you would draw them to yourself for your own sake and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.